And also thank you, Jason, for that kind introduction. So our topic for tonight is discontentment. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us as we learn your word. I pray that you give us a humble and teachable heart and to continue to sanctify us and to draw us to Christ, those who have not submitted to their lives to you. Draw them. And we ask that you glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Topic for tonight is discontentment. Do we all know what discontentment is? Discontentment is, in simple terms, is the feeling of dissatisfaction or unhappiness. Unhappiness with what you have or with what's happening in your life. Discontentment is when you say, this is not enough. Or this is not fair. Or this is not what I wanted. In other words, discontentment is complaining or murmuring. However, discontentment is more than just momentary dissatisfaction. It is a persistent feeling of unhappiness with your circumstances. Study shows that one of major causes of discontentment is pressure. Why? Because pressure creates a gap between where you are and where you should be. This pressure triggers stress responses that often lead to exhaustion or resentment. And pressure comes from both external and internal. External pressures include expectations from others, social norms, and for many of you, academic demands. There's pressure. And then internal pressure includes ambition, perfectionism, fear of missing out, FOMO, fear of failure, and more. There are so many causes of discontentment, but I believe for a lot of people today, the main source for discontentment is, who can guess? Social media. I believe social media is the number one responsible that is negatively affecting many people's lives today. Not just for young people, but for adults as well. Don't get me wrong, there are many good things about social media, but excessive use can harm your mental health, physical well-being, relationships, and more. Why? Because social media often promotes constant social comparison. What you see in the social media are carefully curated highlight reels of other people's lives. You rarely see the real struggles, failures, or ordinary moments unless they are edited and exaggerated to get more views and clicks. Social media does not reflect reality. Study shows also that people who spend more than 3 hours a day on social media face roughly double the risk of depression and anxiety symptoms. Why? Because these platforms are designed to deliver intermittent dopamine spikes that create addictive loops. You know what dopamine is? Dopamine is a neurotransmitter. It is a chemical messenger in your brain that regulates motivation, reward, and attention. So notifications, likes, or comments give you small dopamine spikes telling your brain, do it again. Over time, these small frequent spikes lead to dopamine desensitization. Your brain becomes less responsive to normal rewards. And then when that happens, real life interactions become less satisfying, which can lead to isolation and loneliness. And late night scrolling also harms your sleep. The blue light from your phone interferes with melatonin. You know what melatonin is? That's the hormones that regulate your sleep-wake cycle. Poor sleep leaves you tired and irritable the next day. In addition, hours of sitting and staring at screen can cause weight gain. You know what technique is? It's a neck pain caused by looking at your phone for a long period of time. And then eye strain and increased inflammation linked to chronic diseases. And social media algorithms push emotionally charged content designed to keep you engaged through anger, outrage, or excitement. Many posts are AI-generated or heavily edited. Over time, heavy users can lose critical thinking and common sense. As believers, we are called to have a clear and sober mind. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, "So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be awake and sober. Since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet and hope, the hope of salvation." Do we all have a Bible? You can use your phone if you don't have a Bible. You can use your app, because I'll be referencing a lot of scriptures, so we need to look at the Bible. Social media can easily fill your heart and mind with the things of this world instead of the Word of God. 1 John chapter 2:15 warns us, "Do not love the world or anything in this world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." So discontentment is bad because it is a complaint against God's divine providence. Again, discontentment is bad because it is a complaint against God's divine providence. Because everything we have, both good and evil, has been ordained or allowed by God. Yes, even the bad things. Because God is sovereign, He is all-knowing, and He is present everywhere. If that is true of God, then nothing can escape His knowledge or control. So even the bad things in life are under His control. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power. Also, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. All things means all things. So God is actively governing this world through His divine providence to accomplish His divine purposes. So when we complain and murmur about our situations, we are essentially telling God, "God, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to run this world." So when we are complaining, that is pride. And pride is one of the root sins that leads to discontentment. Yes, pressures in life and social media do contribute to discontentment, but it's really caused by the underlying sins in the heart. And one of them is pride. Okay? What is pride? Pride is an excessively high opinion of yourself. A prideful person believes he deserves more than what God has given them, what God has given him. If you are a prideful person, your plans, ideas, or actions are headed for failure. Why? Because God doesn't only like the proud person, He also against him. James 4, verse 6 says, "God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Yes, a proud person may enjoy temporary success, but the end of all, his plans and actions will be failure and destruction. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction." Pride is one of the root sins of discontentment. And another root sin of discontentment is rebellion. First, pride. Second, rebellion. What is rebellion? Rebellion is the sin. The sin of rebellion is deliberate refusal to submit to God's divine authority. So divine refusal to submit to God's divine authority. Rebellion or disobedience requires knowledge of the command. Meaning you have to know the command, right? You cannot genuinely disobey or rebel against something you don't know about. If you have a Bible, open your Bible in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. So you can follow me. I'm going to read. It says here, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since What may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So according to this passage, unbelievers who are wicked, sinners, who are wicked sinners, have no excuse. But we know that not all unbelievers are wicked, right? There are unbelievers who are good people. But even then, they have no excuse. They cannot say, I didn't know. I didn't hear about God. Again, according to Romans 1, God made it plain to them. Meaning common sense should have understood it. So no one has excuse. And when God said people are without excuse at the end of verse 20, that is referring to the consequence of their rebellion to God's authority, which is God's wrath. Back to the beginning of verse 18, you will see the wrath of God being revealed from verse 21 to verse 32 of Romans chapter 1. You can read that on your own in verse. And in verse 28, it says, God gave them over to an unfit or depraved mind to do those sins that are not proper. So all unbelievers, both wicked and morally good, they have no excuse because God made it clear to them, but they still chose the things of this world. So if unbelievers have no excuse, what more the believers? If you say you believe God, you must know who God is. That's why you believe Him in the first place, right? As believers, we need to know His commands and instructions. That is the reason why we go to church every Sunday. Not just to see our friend or to have fun. But that's why we also have teaching every Friday, like tonight. Not just to have fun, because we need to learn God's word. We need to know His command and instructions so that we can obey the God who loves us, who blesses us, who provides for our needs. So know His commands and obey them is the will of God for us. The sin of pride and rebellion are connected to each other. It's like BOGO. You know what BOGO is? Buy one, get one. Right? Because if you rebel, right, against God, that is because of pride. And if you are a prideful person, your thoughts and actions are rebellious towards God. So they are connected, actually inseparable. 1 Samuel 12:53 sums this up. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance, which is pride, like the evil of idolatry. So we need to stay away from the sin of pride and rebellion. So discontentment is rooted in the sin of first pride, second rebellion. But there's one more sin that causes this discontentment. That is the sin of unbelief. What is unbelief? Unbelief is simply the opposite of faith. First, let's consider what faith is. Faith is an active trust and reliance in God. Faith produces obedience and contentment. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is synonymous with obedience. Because obedience is the outward appearance of your faith. It's the outward reflection of your faith. And unbelief, on the other hand, is synonymous with disobedience. And disobedience, which is rebellion, is the outward appearance of unbelief. If faith produces contentment, then what is the opposite? Unbelief produces discontentment. Unbelief is not the absence of faith. Because faith is an active trust in God, and unbelief is an active refusal to believe and trust God. And if you refuse to believe and trust God, then you are left trying to control everything yourself, which is a formula for discontentment. So you don't want to run your own life, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So, as I said earlier, pride and rebellion are connected to each other. And if you add unbelief with pride and rebellion, what you get then is a complete recipe for discontentment. So remember these three things, right? This is the root sins of discontentment: unbelief, pride, and rebellion. Did you get that? Because we're going to have a quiz after. I'm just kidding. So these three sins, right, they are complete opposite of true Christian character. Pride is the opposite of humility. And rebellion is the opposite of disobedience. And unbelief is the opposite of faith. If faith, obedience, and humility describe the believer, then pride, rebellion, and unbelief describe the unbeliever, the fallen nature. If you have your Bible, look with me in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11 to 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11 to 14. So here we will see a biblical example of these three sins playing all together. So let me read it from verse 11. Your pride and the music of your hearts have been brought down to Sheol. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you, and worms are your covering. Verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. Verse 13. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. This passage has a double reference. The primary context is referring to the king of Babylon, but at the same time, it also refers to the fall of Satan. Notice the phrase, I will, right? How many times Satan said the phrase, I will? He said, I will 5 times. That is the sin of pride. 5 times, enough for him to be cut down from heaven. That's how dangerous pride is. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 3. When Satan tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said to Eve in verse 5, Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. He said to Eve, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The sin of pride that caused Satan to fall and rebel from God is the same sin of pride that Satan used to tempt Eve in the garden. In Isaiah, he said, I will make myself like the Most High. Here in Genesis chapter 3, he said to Eve, you will be like God. It's the same. I will be like the Most High. And he told Eve, you will be like God. The same exact pride that crept in every heart. So after Eve entertained that idea that she will become like God, what came next? Do we know the story? She disobeyed God's command. God's one and only command for Adam and Eve. Only one, and she disobeyed. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God said, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it. That's the only command. Okay? From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it. Eve disobeying God's command is called what? Rebellion. Remember the definition of rebellion? It's a direct refusal from one's authority. So she refused to submit to God's divine authority. So Eve became guilty of the sin of pride and the sin of rebellion. What is still missing here? If you continue reading verse 17, right? For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. So that's the command of God. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat from it. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. That's what God said. Did she believe that? No. Instead, she believed Satan. Back to chapter 3 in verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." So God said, "You will surely die." Satan said, "No, you surely will not die." So who did Eve believe? Who did Eve believe? Satan. So based on this, can we conclude that unbelief is obeying Satan instead of God? I think so. Not believing God is automatically believing Satan's lie. Okay? And disobeying God is automatically obeying Satan. And if you're not convinced, let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Here Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters." So there's no if. Jesus did not say, "You're against me if you follow Satan." He didn't say that. He just said, "He who is not with me is against me." So with God, there is no middle ground. I hope you're convinced. But if not, that can be a good discussion later with your leaders. Now, if you will summarize Adam and Eve's falling into sin in one word, what would it be? There's pride, there's rebellion, and unbelief. That's discontentment. That's discontentment. There were pride, rebellion, and unbelief. Eve was not content being just the wife and helper of Adam, the way God created her. But she wanted to become like God. She listened to the influencer. Well, sounds like social media. And then Adam joined her. Now here we are, struggling from the same sin. But thank God for the freedom from sin through Christ. Amen. We don't usually talk about discontentment as a whole. What we usually talk about are the individual sins that lead to this discontentment and the sins that resulted from discontentment. So we just saw the sins that lead to discontentment, right? The sin of pride, rebellion, and unbelief. Now we are going to look at the sins that came out from discontentment. These sins then are indicators that discontentment is growing in your heart, if you notice these sins. It's number one. It's a heart level sins rooted in discontentment, covetousness and envy. Covetousness and envy arise when the heart becomes dissatisfied with God's provision and begins to crave or want what belongs to others. It could be others' possessions, status, relationships or achievements. James chapter 3 verse 16, it says, he said, "For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice." So discontentment, right, it produces this covetousness and envy. And envy, according to James, if there's envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. So it produces more sin. And then the next one is greed and materialism. So contentment produces this sin, greed and materialism. Greed is the relentless desires for more. More money, more fame, more possessions, more comfort at the expense of spiritual truth. Greed and materialism turns a person's hope from God to wealth, creating anxiety, restlessness, and misplaced priorities. The Bible warns that greed is spiritually dangerous because it promises satisfaction but delivers bondage. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 to 10 says, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Again, love of money, which is greed, will produce more evil. It's the root of all kinds of evil. Again, from discontentment, right? It produces greed and materialism, covetousness and envy, which leads to other sins. And yeah, greed and materialism still leads to another sin, more sin. And then the third one is idolatry and sovereignty. So again, these sins are stemming from the sin of discontentment. Okay, so when you see this in your life, these are indicators that you are being discontented. So idolatry is not bowing to statues. It is giving ultimate loyalty and trust to anything other than God. And self-sovereignty, a modern form of idolatry, is when you trust and love yourself more than God, relying to your own strength rather than God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, God said, "You shall have no other God before me." So that's, these sins are in the heart level sins, right? And the second one is the outward expression of discontentment. Number one, complaining, grumbling, and bitterness. So persistent dissatisfaction manifests in verbal expression of discontent, building up resentment toward God, circumstances, or others. This cultivates or develops a spiritual ingratitude. Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. So one is complaining, grumbling, and bitterness. Second is relational strife. Envy and covetousness can escalate to conflict, slander, and more as individuals seek fulfillment outside God-ordained boundaries, viewing others as competitors rather than neighbors to love. So instead of you loving your neighbor, you consider them as your competitors. Proverbs 13 verse 10, where there are strife, there is pride. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And then the third one is the ultimate outcome of discontentment. When you let discontentment grow without dealing with it, it can slowly drain you, your joy, weaken your health, your faith, and pull you toward other bad choices, like stealing and giving to unhealthy habits, which can lead to other sins also. Over time, it can even push you further away from God. Discontentment is gateway to sin, and even more sin if you don't deal with it right away. Because once it gets in your heart, a lot of other sins will start flowing and growing from it. Okay, finally, we're done with the introduction. Here's the main point. Discontentment is a serious sin against God. So what do we need to do to avoid the sin of discontentment? Do the opposite, which is to be content. It's easy, right? Contentment simply means being happy and satisfied with what you have and not always wanting more things or wishing your life was different. However, contentment is more than just satisfaction, because satisfaction has to do with some particular occurrence or object. True contentment is a permanent state of mind. Therefore, cultivating contentment involves deliberate gratitude, trust in divine provision, and focus on eternal realities instead of temporal lacks. So, what do we need to do? Focus on contentment, right? So number one, recognize the root cause of discontentment. Surrender pride and submit to God. The opposite of pride is, again, humility. But the Bible speaks deeper humility than not bragging, willing to learn and to listen, or not acting superior. It's more than that. The biblical humility is self-denial. Self-denial means death to yourself. What does it mean? Giving up your life. It means you are nobody. No rights, and you don't own anything. If you are dead to yourself, no matter. Excuse me. I lost my note. Okay. So if you are dead to yourself, no matter what people do to you, that'll be nothing, right? Because you're dead. You're dead to yourself. You will not complain. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. When Jesus was crucified, what happened? When Jesus was crucified, what happened to him? He died, right? Being crucified with Christ speaks of dying. You died with him. That's why Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that is Christianity. You cannot be a believer in Christ if you do not and cannot deny yourself. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Again, take up your cross speaks of dying. If you cannot die to yourself, you cannot be a believer. Self-denial is the entrance to Christianity. So if you are a believer, dead to yourself, but alive in Christ, then there is no room for pride. And whatever comes your way, you will be content, for your life now belongs to Christ. Right? I guess right. Second, learn the secret of contentment. Practice gratitude and thankfulness. What is the secret of contentment? Practice gratitude and thankfulness. Gratitude means it's a state of being thankful. Yeah, being thankful. That's easy, right? Being thankful. When you receive something good, it's easy to be thankful. What about in bad situations? Can we be thankful in bad situations? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, in all circumstances, meaning even bad circumstances. But how can I be thankful when I lose my cell phone? Right? Will you be thankful if you lose your cell phone? Well, what's the Bible say? Right? Be thankful in all circumstances. Again, if you deny yourself, that's not going to affect you. Again, back to self-denial, right? You don't own anything. Everything you own is God's. And if you really need a cell phone in serving God, He will provide. So practice gratitude and thankfulness in all circumstances. Next is trust God in His provision. Psalm 23, verse 1, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I lack nothing doesn't mean everything that you want. It means you will always have everything you need. And you know why God compares himself here as a shepherd? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Why God compared him as a shepherd? Because a good shepherd made sure his sheep lacked nothing essential. That sheep didn't have to worry about provision. It's been cared by the shepherd. And do you know how God takes care of his sheep? John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So that's how God takes care of his sheep. He lays down his life for them. Lastly, to overcome this discontentment, we need to focus on godliness. Focus on eternity. As believers in Christ, we belong to God's kingdom in heaven. That is our home. Right? Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. You may live up to 100 years here on earth, but that's still a temporary. Our permanent residence is in eternity with God. So don't get caught up with the things in this world, but focus our eyes on eternity. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And such things cannot be found in this temporal world. They are there with God in eternity, right? Our final destiny. So we need to focus up there, not down here. Second, remember your spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." It says, every spiritual blessing. So what's missing there? Every spiritual blessing. What's missing? Nothing. Every spiritual blessing. God blesses us. No wonder David said in Psalm chapter 23, "I lack nothing." In conclusion, as a professing believer, continually living in a state of discontentment is a very serious matter that you cannot ignore. It means you either are already departing from your faith in God, or your faith is not real at all. As true believers, there is really no reason for discontentment. Because God gave His own Son, Jesus Christ, for us. What more can He give? You want blessings? He is the source of blessings and all good and perfect gifts. You want joy? He is the source of joy. Most of all, if you have received Jesus in your life, your soul was saved and no longer in danger from the wrath of God, which is forever burning in hell and forever absent from the presence of God. So if you understood all this, there is no place for discontentment. We just need to always remind ourselves of what we have in Christ. Again, Ephesians chapter 1. Read that whole chapter. It listed all of our spiritual blessings. But if you have not trusted and surrendered your life in Christ, this is the time, not tomorrow. If you hear the good news and you understand it, grab it. Grab it right away and treasure it. Don't wait until tomorrow, for tomorrow may not come. And if you are a believer and you are going through spiritual dryness, it can happen. You have to examine your heart. You may be guilty of sin of discontentment. And if you do, don't be apathetic towards God. But follow David's example. Right? When he was rebuked by the prophet about his sin of adultery and murder, what did he do? King David, what did he do? He didn't run away from God, but he ran towards God. And he humbled himself and he prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." That's in Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. So he prayed that, and you know what? God forgave David. Because God is a loving and forgiving God, and He is faithful and just to forgive us when we humbly confess our sins to Him. If you know you are guilty of the sin of discontentment or any sin at all, don't hide or run away from God, because you can't. You can't hide from Him. He's everywhere. Like David, run to God, confess your sins to Him, because God's arms are open wide, ready to forgive you, because He's a loving God. Let's pray. Father, you are a great shepherd who cares for us. We thank you once again for feeding us your word. May your word continue to work in us and transform us. Please continue to protect us from sin and temptation. Help us to see the work of your hands in our lives every day, and help us to focus our eyes on the Lord Jesus always. Amen.